flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
K&C Masterpiece, boom, finally got it. Third time's a charm right here on 105.3 The Fan. I'm going to talk some basketball here, but I want to go in a totally different direction. Trade objections aside, how do Anthony Davis and Max Christie fit the Mavericks from a basketball perspective?
And Caleb Martin. How does Caleb Martin fit the Mavs?
Oh, did we just make a move?
He is being traded to the Mavericks as well from Philadelphia. So,
do we give up Kyrie for him?
I don't know. Shams has not posted the exchange.
You probably gave up the first-round pick we just got, to be honest.
But it does look like Caleb Martin is heading this way.
Good news, because I don't follow Shams anymore, so whatever you say.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Mike has no clue what's going on there. So I totally want to get down with those two specifically, Anthony Davis to start with for sure. I just wanted to make sure we knew that dude now is a Maverick.
But there's another wing presence that, you know, we were kind of talking about right there.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so we can add Caleb Martin to the group, and we'll keep an eye out on what the compensation is for that.
I'll let you know when I know.
They're going to have to totally redo the offense.
I can see that.
This was a...
Oh, but okay. Alex, what's the return?
So Dallas will be sending Quentin Grimes and Philadelphia's 2025 second-round pick back to the 76ers.
All right.
Wow. Well, thanks for stopping by, Quentin Grimes.
Yeah, man.
I didn't think Quentin Grimes was bad.
I didn't either.
Yeah. I guess Caleb Martin is more of a ball handler. At this point, you're effed with ball. You have one on your team. I don't even really like Caleb Martin as a ball handler, to be honest. He's more of like Spencer Dinwiddie-ish in the ball handling aspect. I'm not saying that he's going to dribble as much. I don't know if a human being can at this point.
And you don't really want Jaden Hardy.
Khalit Reeves is out of the league, who used to check the PSI in the ball as much as Spencer Dinwiddie. And I get Luka does too, but Luka can do that when you're averaging a 30-point triple-double. But I think they're going to have to totally redo the offense. That being said, they're going to, and when I say totally redo, they're just going to play the more Kyrie Irving offense, which is a faster pace offense.
Yeah.
But what do you do when Kyrie's not in the game? Hardy can't handle the ball.
Yeah.
He couldn't handle the ball as a teenager, and he doesn't look like, I do like Jaden Hardy, to be clear. I do like
him too.
As a player.
Not as a point.
Not a point guard at all. Spencer Dinwiddie, a below average NBA point guard. Martin, a below average NBA point guard. Solid role player, but so I don't know. You have one human being who can actually, to me, run an offense and then reliably score on the outside.
Yeah.
So, I mean, defensively, I think they're way better.
Oh,
way better.
Especially, do they have the best interior defense in the league?
It's not even close.
Yeah.
Now, that would be if Derek Lively became healthy this year.
True.
And Derek Lively's going to play next year. I hope
he
plays.
You're not optimistic about this year.
Not a 20-year-old who broke his foot, and go look at the history of big guys who break their foot. Do not push it.
Yeah.
But they can. I don't care.
Because you're out on the Mavs.
Yeah.
So,
and it's I hate saying that because they were my favorite team, but I don't feel a connection, and I don't really like the way the sport's played anymore.
So what I'm curious about with Anthony Davis is, I know he's like, hey, play the four. Does he space the floor?
Nope.
And that's my concern.
He's going to have to play the five here for this year because of Derek Lively's injury.
And because he's not been shooting the three well for a long time. So when the Lakers made the run to the title, his ability to shoot three-pointers was looking really good. Since then, you've seen a lot of degradation among his three-point shooting abilities. And so that's why I'm curious about put him in at the four.
The Mavs have a short window here. They have two guys that are in their early 30s who have been number two players on really good teams. If they were to successfully win the championship, I'll give it a three-year window. We don't even know if Kyrie's going to be here, but I'm going to assume yes. They would change the game of basketball because this is not going to be a three-point shooting team. P.J. Washington's not a good three-point shooter. Anthony Davis is a horrible three-point shooter. Your two centers don't shoot three-pointers at all. Kyrie is. Spencer Dinwiddie is an inconsistent three-point shooter at best. So you're hoping that the young guy you got in Max Christie keeps improving. He's only 21 or 22.
Yeah.
He keeps improving as a three-point shooter. He was drafted as a 3-and-D guy, but he hasn't proven to be like a consistent over 40% three-point shooter. So if you win, it will be by driving to the basket, making shots around the basket, and playing unbelievably great defense.
Yeah.
That's your formula now. It's not about shooting the three. It's not about being, a high-volume three-point shooting team. You're going to be one of the lowest-volume three-point shooting teams in the NBA. So this championship would come by not shooting threes very much and making a lot of twos, and then playing unbelievably great defense.
Now, if you're wondering why the move for Caleb Martin went down, I will not confirm that it's because they were playing anyway, the Mavericks and the 76ers, and they were like, maybe we just make that happen. By the way, Caleb Martin was a game-time decision. He has missed some time as well.
Right.
And so, look, and I know...
Sounds like the NBA.
I know that's going to frustrate a lot of NBA fans, a lot of Mavs fans specifically, who, if you're just now catching wind of it, Quentin Grimes out, second-round pick goes along with him to bring in Caleb Martin. And that's what I'm curious how they're going to work with P.J. Washington, too. I know P.J. Washington has a lot of flexibility, but you could see him defending the four plenty of times. And now he's going to move, I would imagine, back down the lineup a little bit in terms of, like, the size of the people and the position that he's defending. And so I'm curious what that's going to look like now with P.J. Washington's effectiveness as well.
Yeah, I mean, he's already a Swiss Army knife, right?
So he really is.
So now maybe, Kevin, this will allow him to focus a little more on smaller, just being the bigger guy to the smaller guards rather than having to be that power forward type guy. And maybe that beat up his body a little too much, and this kind of allows for more of that. And he's going to have to take on more offensive responsibilities now with Luka gone, so you got to find a balance there.
Here's my question, since you're asking about the future, as my buddy Ryan Dreese is calling me, probably saying he's disliked Luka for a long time. So Ryan Dreese...
Oh, he probably thinks this is a great trade.
Just know, brother, I'm on the radio right now. I'll talk to you later
about the NBA. You know what you
do for a living? Yeah.
I'm asking you guys this question. I have my answer, but I'll let you guys answer this. If this is about defense, what's your starting lineup when this team is healthy without Derek Lively? We know Lively's out until probably, let's just be optimistic, he's out till mid-April.
Yeah.
All right. So
Gafford, Davis.
Okay.
P.J. Washington, yep. Kyrie. And that's not like that's your weak link. That's your Steph Curry, okay, essentially. Right. On a
but
really
then don't you have to go Clay as well?
Then your defense still sucks.
Yeah.
Too bad. Didn't fix your defense. It sucks. Klay can't guard outside guys well anymore, and Kyrie is very limited as a defender because of his size. Defense still sucks. Now, I'll tell you how you fix it.
Do we have to like pull a lever or something here, Mike?
Klay has to come off the bench.
Yeah, I think that's perfect.
What you've been kind of asking for the whole year.
Well, the reason he left Golden State and was so upset was because he had to come off the bench. But if this is about defense, and it's a defensive mindset, Klay was a great defensive player in his prime. Clay can't play defense anymore. People blow by him all of the time.
He's
a horrible rebounder. I mean, if he's one step away from the ball and a person's two steps away, the younger athletic guy always beats Clay Thompson to the ball. I'm not saying he's worthless, but if this is going to be about a defensive mindset team, Clay cannot start, because starting Kyrie and Clay puts pressure on the other three guys as they get beaten off the dribble. And now it collapses the defense because you're having to scramble because Kyrie struggles with size and Clay can't guard people on the perimeter anymore, which means Max Christie has to start.
Okay.
I'm a little bit curious about that. I mean, to be fair, Max Christie has started like half the games for the Lakers this year.
Young player that they seem to be very enamored with at one point, and his defense suitable for what they are.
We've been told that he guarded all the best players on all the other teams for the Lakers.
Okay.
That he was their best perimeter defender on a really bad defensive team, and that he was their best perimeter defender. If that's the case, and he's an up-and-coming defender on the wing, but on the perimeter, then he has to start. And you have to probably then go, and this is where I don't know about the ball handling. Najee Marshall's not a point guard, but I have to combine Najee Marshall with Klay Thompson because I got to hide. I can have one bad defender out there at a time if I'm going to be now the defensive team of the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really play Klay and Kyrie together because that makes me a bad defensive team.
So, you'd have to fear. And you got to, I guess here's the thing. I know Anthony Davis, they asked why he gave up that $6 million, and he said, looks for the team. You know, he said for the Mavericks. He said, I got to do what's best for the team right now. If that mindset starts to percolate, Kevin, do you think that Klay Thompson will go, you know what, I got to do what's best for the team too. I will accept the role because I think we have more stuff in front of us, or you think ego is just too much right now?
No, I will very much admit if I'm wrong about this. I know we've all got egos, and to get to the highest level, you have to have a healthy ego. I wonder if Klay's at the point where he was like, this will be better suited for what I can do right now. Now, maybe not, because as you pointed out, that was a big issue last year. But I think this is much better suited for what Klay Thompson is capable of doing now. I think it is achievable.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't have to have the conversation.
Klay can't get an open look when Luka and Kyrie aren't on the court. He's worthless. So I have to play. Now I don't have Luka. So what's the value of Klay Thompson?
You think just Kyrie Irving will not be able to make that happen?
I can't. Am I a defensive team or not? What did our general manager say we're doing?
Yeah.
We're coming to a defensive team. I can't play Klay and Kyrie together. If Kyrie doesn't play with Klay, Klay's worthless. Klay can't get an open look with the other guys. He only got open looks for the most part, not every time. If Luka set him up or if Kyrie set him up, nobody else on the team is able to set him up, because sometimes it would be Luka drawing the defense in by throwing the ball to Derek Lively. Derek Lively, they would suck in to don't give him a uncontested dunk, and then Derek Lively would make a good pass to Klay Thompson for a wide open shot. Like there was kind of like the hockey assist that would happen through Luka and through
the
Kyrie.
Assist through the assist,
But I don't know if the Mavericks are supposed to be a defensive team, how do I play Klay Thompson and Kyrie together? And if Klay's supposed to help me out, how do I play him with anybody else besides Kyrie?
So the thought then would be Kyrie, Christie, PJ, Anthony Davis, Daniel Gafford, and then obviously they just made the move for Caleb Martin. That's another piece on the wing with Najee. Yeah. If you see Derek Lively, that's one of the things. I want to go back to Derek Lively for just one second. That's one of the things when you heard, you know, Barkley or Kendrick or whoever were like, and they got Derek Lively. And I'm like, man, isn't he out for like another month and a half or two?
Yeah.
Like,
that's where they forget, right? They're not following the Mavs, so they just look at it as a complete team. They're not complete this year.
And the way it was talked about was like, oh, he's back now. And I'm like, no, I mean, maybe he'd come back for the playoffs or at the end of the regular season, but I don't know that to be the case, and that is concerning.
Dries is listening. He told me to never badmouth a Warriors legend again.
Oh.
I'll tell Dries, because he grew up in the Oakland, San Francisco area. He's allowed to be a Warriors fan. He is a Warriors fan when I knew him when they were horrible. Is Klay is a first ballot Hall of Famer, one of the greatest players in NBA history. He's just not anymore.
Yeah.
And he's not bad. I just, it takes special cases to get him on the court and for you to get the most out of Klay Thompson. Maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe you guys can tell me, hey, they're getting the most out of Klay now that Luka's not on the team. I don't know.
He's not going to be watching.
Maybe Anthony Davis will draw double teams, and then he will be, and he is good enough to do this, to kick the ball to Klay in a corner or a wing?
Maybe so. Maybe that's an option. You're right. Jason Kidd and their offensive team, they have to come up with a plan that fits what their personnel can do, because it's very different than what they've done in the past.
So Quentin Grimes and a second-round pick moving along down the road for Caleb Martin from Philadelphia. Caleb Martin, I believe, has been out 3 weeks now. And so he's back to the point where they think he's going to play. I'm just sure that a lot of Mavericks fans are like, oh, great. So we picked up another week by player.
I kind of, Quentin Grimes, I might have liked better, to be honest.
Oh, interesting. And you gave up the second-round pick as well.
I know that they believe he's better. He's averaging 9 points, 2 assists, and 4 rebounds this year. Caleb Martin?
I'm
looking at his numbers.
Okay, then I will.
He's averaging 9.1 points, 4.4 rebounds, 2.2 assists, 1.1 steal, and 1.4 turnovers. So that's – I mean, that's who you got. I'm not saying he's bad. But I don't know what the difference between him and Quentin Grimes is.
Can you imagine this tweet from Grant F. Seth? He went from dancing at the Mavs shoot-around about an hour ago to not knowing he was already in his new home. Like, can you imagine you're sitting
Quentin
there?
Grimes.
Yeah, you're and maybe that's it. Maybe all the dancing and goofing off. Maybe that was the thing. Mike's been talking about it.
Pump the ball from half court before the game starts to get your warm-ups in.
Okay, I mean, maybe. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live from Media Row in New Orleans. Coming up next, does the Luka trade give the Rangers an opportunity to take over more of the Metroplex? That and Mike Likes It next right here on The Fan.
1-0, swinging a drive, well-hit ball, deep head into right center field. This one might leave the yard, and it does! Home run number one on the season for Evan Carter, and he's put the Rangers back out in front, 3-2.
Seems a little early.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. All right, that was not like from today's game or yesterday's game.
It was his first one about of the Derek season, Lively and Evan Carter. Looks like he hit a home run today.
Advantage Evan Carter. So I wanted to do something here that like uses Luka as a springboard for just a second, but it's about something else totally different.
All right.
Does the Luka trade give the Rangers an opportunity to take over more of the Metroplex? Look,
yes.
I feel comfortable in terms of saying for now, maybe forever, Cowboys are one by a pretty good margin.
Right.
And I think the Stars are four by a pretty good margin. But 2 and 3 feels like it can at times be up for grabs.
Right. He wasn't trying to be offensive, by the way, Stars fans. I think Stars fans understand that, too.
I'm just going
to look at the ratings and the value of the teams and how much money they bring in.
Yeah. By the way, those aren't my ratings. Look, I love the Stars. Me and Brandon go to Stars games every single year. They have the best team in the Metroplex and the best opportunity to win a championship. But Mavericks fans are palpably mad. Some of them are palpably done. Like, you're one of them. People brought when we talked with Ramona Shelburne earlier, she said, oh, they held a funeral. People brought a coffin up to the American Airlines Center on Sunday. People are mad. People are done. And this might be a weird question, but does this not open a potentially big opportunity for the Rangers?
Yes. The Rangers know that, too.
Okay,
the Rangers understand. Other teams understand this, too, that the Stars making the trade and saying, we're all in. We're trying to kind of make smaller moves around our bigger players to show you that we think we can win the Stanley Cup. So this is, I guess, the little secret that fans of a Metroplex don't want to know. The Cowboys are not rooting for the Rangers. The Rangers are not rooting for the Cowboys. The Mavericks are not rooting for the Stars and the Rangers and the Cowboys, and the other teams are not rooting for them. Yes, they do put out social media posts because they're all in the same Metroplex, and they understand that most of their fans, not all of their fans, but most of their fans are rooting for all of their local teams.
Yeah.
But they understand. I'm not, like, outing the Rangers or outing, you know, like, it's all the teams. You have to understand the reality. The Rangers would like all the money to go to the Rangers. The Cowboys would like $0. They would like the Rangers to go away. If Jerry Jones had his way, he would like the Mavericks to move out of Dallas-Fort Worth, the Stars to never exist here, and the Rangers to go away. That's their – and they know that that's not the what's going to happen. Yeah. But they also understand how to play the publicity, right? I'm so happy the Rangers won the World Series. My butt. Like, sure. Jerry hated the Rangers won the World Series.
I have no
doubt
about that.
And I understand that the Rangers right now see this as an opportunity because I'm going to assume this, and this might be a high number percentage. I do think up to 30% of Maverick fans are not going to renew their season tickets next year.
That's a big number, Mike. That's a huge number.
I know. I don't even know how many season ticket holders they have. If I'm going to guess 10,000 to make the numbers easy.
Right.
Up to 3,000 season tickets will not be renewed next year for the Dallas Mavericks. Now, I will say this, unless they go on a magical run in this playoff.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden you got those tickets got you face value tickets to the semifinals, face value tickets to the conference finals. And now you're looking at it going, wait a second.
Yeah.
They didn't make the NBA finals. Let's just say they go on a run and Oklahoma City beats them in the conference finals. That will probably change people's minds right now on how they're looking at their $10,000 to $30,000 a year that they invest in tickets. Well, where does that money go? They want entertainment. So the Rangers look at it and go, hey, had a crappy year last year. Like, Chris Young he tells you how he feels. He said on The Fan, this was an embarrassing year for me and everybody involved with the Texas Rangers, and we don't want that to happen again. Now, they hope that they have the right team to win enough games that people go, well, screw it. The Mavericks lost in the play-in situation. Luka's not going to be there anymore to watch. And I hope this doesn't happen, by the way. But I'm just telling you the situation. If you're a fan that has $15,000 invested in tickets, man, the Rangers look like they might be steady. Maybe Wyatt Lankford, you know, this year is looking like a minor MVP candidate. Evan Carter is staying healthy and doing things that he did in September and October in 2023. Man, those guys are going to be around for a while. Josh Young still has, after this year, three more years left with the Texas Rangers. You still have Corey Seager, the face of the franchise, under contract for six more years after this year. So the Rangers do see, if they can have a successful year, nothing's guaranteed. If they can win close to 90 games and make the playoffs, they understand that they can get some of the Maverick money to go to the Texas Rangers. And they understand that Cowboy fans are tired of this.
Yes.
And they can get a few more dollars from the Cowboys to go to the Rangers.
Okay, so here's the question I'm going to pose, because I agree with everything that you're saying, is spending money doesn't automatically make you better. We would all agree on that. But there is still a gaping hole on this team. Like, regardless of what you think about the rest of the Texas Rangers,
I agree.
They do not have a closer. There's a gaping hole on this team. To get a closer, you could probably figure out a trade and find a way to fit somebody in there financially that would make it work. Or you could spend the money that would theoretically put the owners in a position that they don't want to be.
Right.
So how do you balance... Well, it's kind of like, it feels like that you got to spend money to make money, right?
Right.
Like, you got to spend money and maybe go back into the tax threshold that you don't like, because then you can't reset.
Yeah.
But it gives you an opportunity to have a better team, which then, theoretically, could help you grab part of that market.
I agree with everything you said. I don't know how to add on to that.
Yeah, I don't know how you make that decision. I'm very fascinated to see what the Rangers do. Obviously, I'm hoping they can figure out a way to either get a low money person or shed contracts somehow, some way.
You hit your marketing team very quickly.
Yes.
Sure. You got to go to marketing and say, all right, we need this, this, and this. So we got to start getting our face out there before season even starts. That's one of the keys.
Okay, I agree.
And then your roster is like, that's where you get the most marketing, the most excitement about your team, is by making sure your roster, if you make a move and add something to it, people go, okay, this is exciting. Just like Jacob DeGrom. They added Jacob DeGrom. Everybody started thinking, hey, we might be a year
away.
Their
ticket sales did go up.
We might be able to do this.
That makes sense.
In those 48 hours that you got Jacob DeGrom, all of a sudden people start calling up and going, I'm going to get a 10-game package. I got to see. Now, ended up being great overall as a Ranger fan. They won the World Series. It didn't end up being great if you were a Jacob DeGrom fan and wanting him to pitch in 2023. You really haven't seen him pitch much at all. He's had the month of April in 2023 and the month of September in 2024. It's the only time he's ever pitched for you. So this will be hopefully the first time, if you're a Rangers season ticket holder or you go to a lot of games, that you're going to get to see on a consistent basis approximately every fifth game Jacob DeGrom to pitch for you. But to your point, usually ticket sales don't happen because you're mad at the Mavericks right now and you're not going to buy any more tickets this year to the Mavericks, or you're not going to reinvest in the Mavericks the next season, or you're mad at the Cowboys. What happens is you make a big splash right now in the offseason, and the only other splash that they – I won't talk about the offseason. The only other splash they can make is April is going to be so important to the Texas Rangers.
Yeah. Come out hot. Because
if the Mavericks are struggling, I think the Stars are going to be doing well. But
yeah,
if the Mavericks are struggling and nobody – guess what? Guess what the Cowboys are going to do in late February and mid-March? Sign absolutely nobody anybody cares about.
Sure.
They're going to sign backup – ha-ha, Clinton Dix will probably get signed again.
Hell yeah.
So they're going to do nothing. So there's going to be discontent with the Cowboys in March because they're going to do nothing in free agency. Then you're going to have – if the Mavericks are struggling, people are going to go, F it, I'm out. Now, can the Rangers, without getting those ticket sales then – can they get off to something like a 12-5 start where then people are like, they're back?
Yeah.
That was a bad year. They're actually a good team. They had a bad year with injuries. But if they get off to, let's say, an 8-10 start, that's going to be tough for the Rangers to capitalize on people wanting to put their entertainment dollars into something else besides Mavericks. And then, you know, the Cowboys, like you said, they're always going to have zillions of dollars. They never have to worry about any of that.
Kevin, Jake Berger also.
Yes.
Jock Peterson, those two guys, are energy guys. Those guys are talkers. The rest of this team is not talkers. Like, they're all guys that are like Corey Seager, every single one of them. So those guys need to stand up, too. Now they need to stand up and start talking for the team a little bit. And, Mike, like you've always been saying about the Bulls back whenever Jordan was there, did they usurp the Bears? We've always asked that question. Did they usurp the Bears during that time?
Yes, they did.
And like, winning helps.
And I don't want to make it sound like, people didn't care about the Bears. Like, they definitely did.
Right.
But the number one story, if everything is equal, it was the Bulls. Absolutely was the Bulls.
Yeah, and if you watch the Netflix thing, The Last Dance.
Yes.
Like, you saw that they were 5,000 people at Bulls games.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Even Jordan's rookie year, yes, it started quickly happening. A lot of tickets started quickly getting sold, and then the sellout started happening quickly after he showed after, I don't know, 10 games or something. Like, oh my gosh, I have to see this young guy play.
This got tweeted out a few seconds ago. PJ Washington welcoming a new baby into the world.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
We already discussed.
Yeah.
So he's not going to be at
a Super Bowl party?
No. That.
Sorry.
No. And that's why he's out. Because obviously the thought was, look, and we'll get back to Grimes in just a second, but the thought was PJ Washington's not playing for a personal matter, the personal matter being we're about to trade him, right? Like, that's
I know people were terrified
of it. That's the concern.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, but seeing that, that's awesome.
I
love it.
So congratulations to PJ Washington.
Because you know how PJ is, right?
Yes, I do know how PJ is. Can I just ask another player I've been curious about? I know he's been rumblings about the Cubs or the Braves. What about, do you go back and kick the tires again on David Robertson? He has plenty of closing experience.
Would.
I know, so not.
He went on foul territory. This is interesting because being around the team, at the end of the year, there was kind of David Robertson didn't know if he wanted to play baseball anymore. He has the 10-year pension. He's made enough money. He never has to work the rest of his life. He has a young family. And so there was like, maybe Robertson's just going to retire. But he went on foul territory, I'm going to say, about a month ago.
Man, foul territory has been clutch for content this month.
It's honestly probably the best baseball podcast
they got a great producer
there is
over there.
For a national. If you're looking for Rangers, there's different. But if you're looking for the national thing, I believe it was on foul territory.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. He said he wants to pitch. He's ready to go. Remember, we talked to him in spring training. He doesn't really need to train before the season.
Yeah.
Like,
he's like, I'm fine.
He does farm work.
He
lives on his ranch.
That's right.
He stays in good shape,
like,
in other ways. And then he picks up a baseball in spring training. He's like, I'm only pitching, like, 20 to 30 pitches every third day approximately.
He still,
like,
throws hard.
I can get myself ready. So if I were the Rangers, the problem is he was good for you last year, right?
Yes.
He made, what was it, $8 million?
I was literally just looking that up.
You can't pay him that.
Yeah.
So you're going to say, we need you back. You were really good for us last year. We're actually going to elevate your role back to closer, which you were doing for the Yankees back in the day.
This is sad.
Was it more money than I thought?
No, it was $5 million.
Oh.
And there was a $7 million mutual option, but then there was a buyout and stuff, and that mutual option didn't work out because you're like, oh, $7 million. We have theoretically $5.5 to $6 million. We could have figured the rest of that out, but you're right. He declined it for a reason.
Okay. Yeah. So I look at it, I'd love to bring him back. Would I love him as the closer? I'm going to be honest, no.
Yeah.
But I would want to bring him back.
But he has experience, at least.
I would want to bring him back in the seventh, eighth inning role he had.
Yeah.
But I think if you brought him back, he would probably be your leading candidate to be your closer.
And that's why I brought it up. I'm not saying it's the best idea, but at least he has experience at closer as opposed to a lot of
receiver pool. Yeah, I think he has close to 200 saves in his career.
And so at least I could see that as like potentially a viable. I wanted to go back to the Mavs for just one second if I can. People also seem upset, and I think this might just be carryover from the Luka deal about trading for Caleb Martin. I think upon looking at some stuff, I think money played a part in this because Quentin Grimes is going to be a restricted free agent at the end of this year, where Caleb Martin is, I think, in the first year, maybe the second year of a four-year deal. So maybe they're like, hey, Quentin Grimes is good.
Am I stupid because I said this stuff on San Francisco radio yesterday morning? Are the Adelsons concerned about future payroll?
There's a quote from Tim Cato's story that I would like to read to y'all.
Okay. This is going to be a bad quote, isn't it?
Alex sent this to me moments ago.
Oh, no.
And this was from Tim Cato's story. Here's the quote. There has been a belief with multiple team and league sources expressed to me over the past months, long before this trade, that Harrison does not have a long-term desire to remain in his current role as general manager. And Tim Cato's not the kind of guy that's just throwing things around willy-nilly, but he's saying that it sounds like, from other people, that it sounds like Nico doesn't love the job. Now, that kind of move, that's weird to me, but that is a quote from Tim Cato's
story. Thinks Caleb Martin potentially could more immediately help the team. Because, look, he made reference to that Sunday. He's like, this is a win-now group.
Gotta move,
that's the only thing I can really think of there.
All right, so back to you on the rest of the conversation. Okay. I just thought that was pertinent.
Yeah, I just wanted to, now that gives me a whole different theory. So that is so pertinent, I would now like to change my theory.
Oh, okay.
That
I love this.
It was a financial move because you've got this other player under contract for 3 more years as opposed to going into restricted free agency.
Yeah.
And now I wonder if they think it's an incremental upgrade over Grimes. I don't know that, but that would be my guess. And that's why they kicked in the second to make it happen.
Yeah, so here's the deal. If you look at, I Googled this yesterday. If you put in Adelson, I'm sorry, I'm forgetting the lady's name.
Miriam, I believe.
If you put in her name and you put net worth, it said yesterday she is the 44th now plus family, but she is the 44th richest person in the world.
I don't think it's, I don't.
Fifth, I guess, in women?
Yeah, that's, I mean.
In the world?
Because they've got like $32 billion.
It said $32.3 billion on Google.
You know what's weird about that? And I know I've brought this up before. $32 billion versus $32.3 billion, you're like, oh, either way.
Not much,
that's $300 million.
Yeah, but for billions.
But that's still.
You're saying it's still Plano.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's still Plano. So I just wanted to throw that out there. I don't think it is money. Especially now, based on what Corey said, I think it's because he's like, hey, you didn't know. When I said short term, I meant short term. Let's go win a damn championship.
Now, some people are looking at that and as, hey, that's him intentionally trying to run this into the ground. I don't know if it's running into the ground.
I don't view it that
more
way.
More than like you guys are saying, the window's smaller than we thought.
And it could colossally fail. I do want to say this. I 100% believe Nico is making moves that he believes get you there. Like
he's not trying to lose. He's done a good job. This is just he's getting a lot of blame for this because you're like you if you're going to trade Luka, like I think all three said, we're okay with trading Luka if you feel like it's best for now and the future, especially I guess more in the future. But you have to get the value out of Luka because when you have that person and you say, he's not our future guy, we don't believe he can lead us to a championship. Even though we got really close last year, we don't believe it. Okay, that's fine. But you have to get so much value out of that person so you can, it gives you chances to make mistakes and still get it right.
Yeah.
You know, like Oklahoma City had some really crappy picks.
Yeah.
Pokolzin or what? Who, I forget the guy I thought
Man,
was.
Remember Pavel, we had a huge.
Pavel Pokolzin.
Oh, no. No, our fight was about. Who was our fight about?
Yeah. Satnam Singh.
Yeah. Skinny McGee. Skinny McGee was a horrible pick. Who? What, you're an Oklahoma City fan. Who was the crap pick? Pokashevsky.
Yeah, there you go.
They had some really horse-ass picks. But when you accumulate a whole bunch of picks, you can totally flop and totally miss on a pick. Now, I'm not saying Philadelphia 76ers has led to anything special. It hasn't. How about Markelle Fultz?
Yeah.
As the first overall pick. They traded up. They traded away from Jason Tatum to make sure they got Markelle Fultz.
Whoops.
But they accumulated so many picks that they did hit on Joel Embiid, and for a second they hit on Ben Simmons.
And Quentin Grimes in a second-round pick, if you're catching up, was the trade for Caleb Martin. And just ironically enough, the Mavs and the 76ers are playing tonight.
By the way, net worth for Jerry Jones, this is according to Google.
Okay.
So I'm going off.
Sure.
It's not going to be perfect.
Yeah.
It says Jerry Jones, $16.7 billion. So multiply that times two.
Wow.
That's how much the Mavericks ownership is worth.
Well, the KNC masterpiece.
Jerry
right?
can't sniff
yeah,
Miriam.
I agree. Right now, look, and I get that this is complicated. It's technically time for Mike Lightsett.
Yes. So, I will just say this. There is a big tease. I put it on Twitter. I cannot talk about it. I've been told I can't talk about it. So, if you're listening for the big payoff, I'm sorry. I'm going to respect my bosses and not talk about it. Hopefully, I can at some point. Okay. So.
Agreed.
What do you guys want to talk about?
Oh, man.
I mean, I got stuff if you want
to. That is a good question.
Talk about something different.
I mean, honestly, Mike, I really want to talk more baseball. I'm just trying to figure out what angle like is the best and most fun angle at the moment for baseball as we get prepared for it. Because I know when we head to spring, what, we're a month away from spring training. We're heading there in
Less
2 weeks or so.
Yeah.
Like, I'm getting excited. I'm starting to get very excited about that.
In fact, we'll be there for games. I can't believe we usually didn't play our first spring training game till like March 1st.
Yeah, that window.
And now they start
longer.
Like February 23rd is like the first game.
Yeah. So I'm very excited about baseball season, but I am also excited to watch Anthony Davis on the court with the Mavs. So that's where my two hearts are at the moment. And then looking around here, seeing all the chaos going here at Radio Row.
You
or
want
media,
base?
Media
Row.
Media Midway.
Oh, I like that better. Do you want to talk? You want to talk baseball, right?
Let's do it.
Okay. Here's the topic I'm going to pitch to you. We've talked about the prospects, but where does the Rangers minor league system rank in the MLB?
Ooh, I like this
all right,
question.
So I've got some research to back this up, and I would love to kick it around with you guys.
So
15. I'll go just right
okay.
In the
so you think kind of in the middle?
Okay.
What say you?
I'll say 12.
Okay. So we can go a couple of different directions. If we go with the Athletic, you can probably guess they get a more favorable rating because that's Keith Law.
Okay.
And Keith Law loves Sebastian Walcott and thinks
he
kicks ass and is the leading candidate to be the number one prospect in all of baseball next year. He has the Rangers at number 13. ESPN, and the ESPN does the thing again that I think is fascinating, is they quantify your farm system monetarily when they're like, these players would be worth this much in the market.
Oh.
We've talked about that before.
Yeah, so that's an interesting approach.
ESPN does it a little bit differently, and they have the Rangers at number 16. So they are, to y'all's point, pretty much right in the middle of the pack.
Okay.
ESPN brings up, they all have the same three top prospects in terms of Walcott, Rocker, and Rosario. Like, they're in different places, different orders and everything. But those are the top three prospects for the Rangers.
Yeah. It is interesting. I'm going to look this up real quick to talk baseball, but I just don't have it in front of me. If I look up Jack Leiter's minor league numbers.
Do you want me to tell you where he is on the list?
If he wouldn't have pitched in the major leagues this year, I think he'd be in the top 100.
Well.
Isn't that weird?
I have an answer for
you. It is reality, but.
Is it?
That if he wouldn't have pitched in the major leagues, I think he might have made the top 100.
Is it,
oh,
though?
It wasn't good?
Mike?
I thought he had good numbers in the minor leagues.
So,
This
is not my value judgment. All this right. is a value judgment of ESPN.
Yeah.
Okay? I want to make that clear. Because I also thought that Jack Leiter qualified, and that would not be a part of it. ESPN went beyond their top 100, and they're like, hey, do you want to know our top 200 prospects? Because, like Corey, you can't get enough baseball.
Mm.
So, prospect number 150 is Winston Santos. And Winston Santos is he was listed as an example of a prospect most likely to eventually be able to throw 200 innings. So, like, not imminent or anything like that, but take a look at that. And then you move down the list. Go a little bit further, a little bit further. Number 168 on the list is Jack Leiter.
So that's based off of how he didn't pitch well in the major leagues.
I think that's fair.
Because, listen, in AAA Round Rock, and that's not an easy place to pitch.
Yeah.
6-4, 3.51 ERA. That doesn't sound that special, but it doesn't sound bad either, right? But now I give you some of this. 77 innings, only 62 hits, 35 walks, and 110 strikeouts.
Wow.
So he had more strikeouts than hits and walks combined.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of good. I'm not trying to tell you Jack Leiter is going to be a future ace. I don't think the Rangers think he's going to be a future ace. I do know that the Rangers still value him at he's going to be 25 this year.
25 and I know that, is about the time you trade people.
Well,
what I'm learning.
And 25 is very different in the NBA than it is in pitching a baseball, especially when you've come out of college. So I just look at Jack Leiter and I get, because if I give you an 8.83 ERA in the major leagues, this is why he's not in the top 100, because we saw him pitch 35 and two-thirds innings and his AAA numbers weren't anywhere close to his major league numbers. But if he wouldn't have pitched in the majors, this is so unfair, because he did, right? You would go, dude, Jack Leiter's coming around. Like, too bad we didn't use him last year. Why didn't we use him? Like, he
exactly,
77 innings, and he struck out 110 and only gave up 62 hits, you know? And you just look at it and go, what? But when you go to the major leagues, he gave up 7 home runs in 35 and two-thirds innings in the minor leagues, and the PCL is a tough place to pitch. That ball does carry there. It's an easy place to give up home runs. 77 innings, 10 home runs. You're like, I know that's too much to ask. If he could give you 77 innings this year, in however which way you use him, sometimes long relief, sometimes spot starting because of injuries, and he only gives up 10 home runs.
Look, I get it.
If he had
another pitch, more.
Well, I don't even want to say another pitch, just more dominant breaking ball.
Yeah. Which we did think that curve, that big looping curveball was kind of that, but it just hasn't.
And I don't think they want to move him into like a setup guy yet.
They don't.
If he could give you 77, or I'll go 70 innings this year in the majors, 10 home runs in 70 innings, he'll
be
a better pitcher. Yeah. I'm just giving you one stat. Just don't give up a home run every 5 innings.
Yeah. And I do wonder, Mike, coming out of the bullpen, if he can start to establish a little bit of a better demeanor for himself mentally. Because, Kevin, we've talked about, he looks like he's just trying to jump through the roof as soon as he walks out onto the mound. Like, he looks like I'm going to strike out everybody on this pitch. If he can come out of the bullpen a little calmer, maybe that'll be a better way to work him into a starting rotation place where he can go, you know what, I know how to pitch now. I don't have to worry and stress like that like I used to.
Look, I just want to have it on the record in case I'm spectacularly wrong or on the offhand chance that I'm correct. I think one of those three prospects that we talk about at the top of the list, now Alejandro Rosario, I think eventually that's eventually going to be your closer. I know they're not, they want to try him as a starter, because as you talked about, I know philosophies have changed, but there is still something to these are our failed starters, and now they go into the bullpen. And so they definitely still want to make that happen, but I would not be shocked if someday Rosario gets a crack at this. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Did that scratch your baseball itch?
Oh, my gosh. I feel like I'm satisfied now.
Okay. I was hoping that...
completely... satisfied.
Okay, I don't like the way that you just said that at all.
By the baseball.
Oh, my God. Coming up next, disgusting. I really want to be like, stop talking, but coming up next.
More talking.
Yeah, okay, hold on, just real quick. From the 214, Quentin Grimes has been traded. We got that text 1 minute ago. All right, this is why I got a Tolo.
No, here's the deal. Next segment, we just say it for 15 straight minutes.
Yeah. Turn it on.
Just say it.
Leave it on.
And just keep repeating. It'd make our job a lot easier.
That's true.
Record it and go walk around and eat more catfish.
I think about that sometimes with all the radio shows that just take phone calls. So about 55 minutes ago, give or take, we broke the news that Quentin Grimes and a second-round pick from the Mavericks have been sent along to pick up Caleb Martin from the 76ers. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Scott Murray,
hell yeah.
And one of my former professors, Marjorie Lewis, join us here on The Fan.